Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the precious memories that we have. Lord, you are a God of remembrance, and you call us to remember. Most importantly, Lord, you call us to remember your faithfulness to your people. How the Lord, you have provided for us salvation. You have provided, Lord, our daily bread. You have given us, Lord, a living hope in your resurrection. And so, Lord, as we look back and we recognize your faithfulness, we express to you, Lord, our gratitude today. We thank you, Lord, for declaring yourself to us, for drawing us to you, and, Lord, for welcoming us into your kingdom, into your very presence. We, Lord, look at this time of gathering together when we join our hearts and our minds together, this time of corporate prayer, as a special privilege for your people. And so, Lord, we are joined together in spirit, and we come before you, Lord, to praise you, to glorify you, to hallow your name. For there is no other name by which a man might be saved than the name of Jesus. And as your children, Lord, we have come to you, not, Lord, out of duty or obligation, but because we recognize your great love for us, we have come to you, Lord, to let our requests be known. Physical afflictions, for we know, Lord, that they recognize you as their great physician, and they will praise you for that. Lord, we lift up Chuck Dennis. We are thankful, Lord, for the improvement after having had surgery, Lord, and yet it appears there are still issues to be confronted. And so, Lord, we ask on Chuck's behalf that you'd continue that healing process there in Billings, and that, Lord, you would provide everything that he is in need of. I would ask, Lord, today that you would provide someone to guide him spiritually and to direct him and to encourage him in the things of the Lord while he is recovering from this surgery. Lord, we think of the Norby family today, a tragic accident. And so, Lord, we just lift them up before you as they begin this mourning process and the change in their lives. We think of Lori and all of the family, Lord, the kids and the extended family. We just ask, Lord, that you would provide healing for them as they mourn, and that, Lord, you would reveal yourself to them in a very special and poignant way. We think of our nation today, Lord, as we watch the news and the violence that's taking place within cities, over a dozen cities of violent protests, and Lord, people having their lives taken from them senselessly. And so, Lord, we ask for a nation that is ever more violent, that, Lord, you would use your church as a vessel, Lord, to share the love of Christ, and that, Lord, you would bring healing to our nation as we lift her before you today. Lord, having read the newsletter from Poland Evangelical Ministries, Lord, the challenges there in Poland for the work of the Lord to go forward through the COVID-19 issue. And Lord, the question is, will they have family camps? Will they have youth camps? These special times and special places where the gospel is shared. And Lord, I would that you would move in a mighty way, that Lord, this would not be a hindrance to you, but Lord, that your word would go forward, not only in Poland, but as we think of the Shattering Darkness ministry in West Africa, as we think of Rita Booth and the churches we support, Lord, prayerfully and financially in Mexico, Lord, in other places around the world, we can see where Satan is at work. But Lord, we know that the victory has been won. And so we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way and that you, Lord, would be glorified in the furtherance of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, for this church body for the fellowship that we have that is with you, and our joy is complete. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together, and we ask, Lord, that you'd keep us safe, and that, Lord, you would give us wisdom and guidance as we go forward, and that, Lord, you would draw people to your house of worship where they might find fellowship and where they might find you and where they might, Lord, be fed from your word. And so, Lord, we thank you for this church body. We thank you for this building and the facility that we have that enables us, Lord, to gather together. And so, Lord, we come before you with these petitions and many more silent petitions being uttered unto you today. And we ask, Lord, that you would answer in a manner that would bring glory to your name and would be of benefit to your people. And so we pray in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, as a reminder, the offering plates are on the table at the back of the sanctuary. We will continue to gather the offering in that manner and encourage you to continue being faithful unto the Lord in your giving. We thank you in advance for that. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to ask you to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, the Gospel of John chapter 14. I think we'll read verses 1 through 11. Our focus is going to be on just one aspect of this, but again, I am sure that you are familiar with this passage, a powerful centerpiece passage in the Gospels, and where Jesus will make incredible proclamations here. But John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11 will be our text. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been with you so long? Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together. My desire today, Lord, is that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that it would be your voice that would be heard, that it would be delivered in power and demonstration of that power, that, Lord, you might bring about change within our lives. For we recognize, Lord, that we are but children in need of growth. We recognize that we are but clay in need of forming. And so, Lord, we ask that you would form us today, conform us unto the image of your dear Son, that we might be used of you for the furtherance of the gospel. We recognize, Lord, that we have but a short amount of time. We recognize that the harvest field is white, and we recognize, Lord, that the laborers are few. Use us, motivate us, empower us for the furtherance of your work of reconciliation. As we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, I'm curious. You don't have to answer. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. But throughout the course of this last week, or any week really, do you hear the voice of God? Is God speaking to you? And what I mean by that is not necessarily an audible voice, although I believe God can do that if he should choose. But more importantly, what I'm thinking about is being your ears being opened up by the Spirit of God, your eyes being enlightened by the Spirit of God, and your mind being changed so that you're thinking like God. That sounds lofty, doesn't it? That we would be thinking like God. And what I'm asking you is, as you grow in the Word, because you remember, we are sanctified by the Word, and His Word is truth. A little later here in this service, we're going to sing a hymn entitled Deeper, Deeper, written by an African-American pastor who was a part of what became known as the Holiness Movement. He would state he had a theological understanding of things of God, but he wanted that deepness of relationship, that sanctification of being joined together, being one with God. And really, I suspect he would have claimed, "Be ye holy as I am holy," says the Lord. Well, I think as we get a biblical worldview and as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we will find that God is not silent. And in fact, what you'll discover is that God is speaking all the time. And oftentimes, God is speaking in a repetitive manner, not out of redundancy, but because we have a dimness of hearing. I have found, as is the case this week, in preparation for a sermon to be delivered on Sunday morning, that I'm waiting on the Lord throughout the course of the week, and oftentimes when I get to Saturday-ish sometime, I will look back and I will take note of all the different times, had I been listening, God had been speaking. That is certainly true this week. Well, this passage here is a powerful one, isn't it? And it gives us great hope. And Jesus is speaking the truth, and He is the truth, and He is the way, and He is the life. And I mean, this is one of those profound passages of Scripture where you have to deal with Jesus. Anybody who picks up a Bible and opens up to John chapter 14 realizes we don't have the luxury or the insaneness of our mind to say, "Well, I kind of believe in Jesus. I take Jesus for some things, and I don't think He's, you know." You don't get that right. When you read passages like this, that no man comes to the Father but by me, that's the truth. There's no swaying that. There's no opinion of any man that's going to change that. The reality is, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, if you are going to receive eternal life, it is going to be only because God has revealed Himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ. You have recognized He came to save sinners. You recognize you're that sinner He came to save. And you welcome Christ into your life. And you accept Him. And you make that decision for Jesus. Oh no, this is a powerful, powerful exclusionary passage of Scripture that eliminates all of the false gods of the world. Let not your heart be troubled. These are troubling times. They're globally troubling. They're nationally troubling. And because of events in this last week, they're personally troubling to families and loved ones that we know. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You see, this is the truth. And then Jesus says this, "I go to prepare a place for you." That's the truth. But you know, as I look at this, I don't want to look at it just simply as a statement of fact, a truth. Because I believe that when Jesus spoke, there was inflection in His voice. I don't believe He spoke in monotone terms. I don't believe He spoke like a robot. I believe that He is all God and all man, and He has passions, and He has desires, and He has feelings, just like we do. In fact, I read down through verse 11 for this very reason, to bring this thought out, because in verse 9, you cannot read verse 9 without reading an inflection in Jesus' voice. When Philip has said, when are you going to show us the Father? How do you read verse 9? Do you not read it the way I do? Have I been with you so long time, Philip? And still you don't know? When you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. You see, that's the way I read that. And what I want to focus on today is this profound statement of truth that he makes in verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Hearing from God through his word. In Matthew 20 and verse 23, the sons of Zebedee were in a debate about which one would be sitting on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. And Jesus says, that's not up for me to decide. The authority of that has been given and prepared by the Father. That he is determined already who's going to sit on his right and his left. That was prepared by the Father. Matthew 25 and 34, speaking of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God has been prepared from the foundations of the world. Luke 2 and 31, speaking of our salvation, that it has been prepared before the face of all people. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, speaking of the patriarchs of the Old Testament in the faith chapter, it says that God had prepared them a new city. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. Speaking of the Jewish remnant and referencing them as a woman, that she would go into the wilderness and there she would find a place prepared for her by God. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 6, we find seven angels and seven trumpets prepared to sound. Revelation 9 and verse 7, we are introduced to locusts that are prepared for battle. Revelation 9 and verse 15, we find four angels that are loosed upon the earth and a year and a month and a day and an hour prepared to slay a third of mankind. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, we find the Euphrates River dried up by God, preparing a way for the kings of the east. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, God has prepared everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. It appears to me as I look at that brief list that God is a God of preparation. That he puts thought, that he puts planning and execution into place. That is his very character of who he is. And because we are created in the image of God, marred because of the fall, we can look at God and who he is, and we can determine in our lives what we ought to be. And we ought to be a people who prepare. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, John the Baptist proclaiming, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In Matthew 26 and verses 17 and 19, the disciples were told to prepare for the Passover. John the Baptist in Luke 1:17, he was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 9 and 52, entering into Samaria, a Samaritan village, to make ready. Christ, who had set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, sent forth others into the Samaritan village, telling them to make ready, for the Lord was coming. Revelation 19 and verse 7 speaks of the church as the bride of Christ made herself ready. Revelation 21 and verse 2, we see New Jerusalem descending from heaven as a bride prepared for her groom. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, we are told to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul would tell Timothy, be ready always with an answer to the question of the hope that lies within you, to be prepared to answer those questions when they come. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 21, we are told that the man of God should be prepared unto every good work. I go to prepare a place for you. This is not something that takes place only in John chapter 14. We find out throughout Scripture that God is a God of foresight, that God is a God of thinking. He has thoughts about us to prosper us. Hitoimazo is the word. To prepare, it requires planning and it requires execution. And we see that Christ is preparing, planning, and he is executing. He is bringing about these mansions, these places prepared for us. You know, James chapter 4 says that it's evil thinking to say, I'm going to go into such and such a city and buy and sell and make gain. What we ought to say is, if the Lord wills. And that's exactly right. James is not saying you shouldn't be a person who prepares. He's not saying you should be a person who flies by the seat of your pants. But rather what he is saying is you should be preparing, you should be making plans, you should be executing these things all under the umbrella of understanding that God is a God of preparation and he may be preparing something different than what you are. Therefore, you submit your ultimate plan to his. How many times do I run into Christians that take walking by faith as an excuse not to prepare for tomorrow? That's foolishness. God has called us to use our minds. And as the wise man once said, it's not the turn in the road that's dangerous, it's failing to navigate it. That we should be a people of preparation. Well, when did God start speaking to me about this? Last Sunday, before I left this church, he had put a puzzlement in my mind about people who have no plan. Is that when it began? No. Last Tuesday, at 5:30 in the morning, coming to the church to pray and to seek God's direction and his purpose for his church, I had my radio on and I listened to a pastor who was talking out of Jonah, and he said, and God prepared a great fish, and God prepared a gourd, and God prepared a worm, and he was bringing out this thought of a preparing God in the case of Jonah. We left here after church on Sunday, as many of you know, and as I've expressed already, and we made a trip to Missoula, a trip that we needed to make quickly and efficiently so that we weren't going to stay in a hotel or anything, and we wanted to get there to where our kids were and to get our hands on two grandkids. And I got to tell you what my wife did. Can I talk about her for just a minute? Is she listening? She manipulated my granddaughter. And she said to her, she says, what does the kitty say? And Audrey said, meow. What does the puppy say? Roof. Went on a list of these things. And then she said, and what does grandma say? And little Audrey said, I love you. No, we had a great time and we wanted to get there. And so in order to get there efficiently and effectively, we were packed and prepared to go before we came to church. We had a lunch packed and prepared so that we didn't have to stop and eat. And we made it to Missoula in 8.5 hours, mostly because we were prepared. And we didn't speed. What we did is we made 2 stops. Mile City, and then not again until Belgrade. And when we stop, it's potty time, it's get gas time, and if you're hungry, get something to eat time, because we're back on the road. Prepared. We got there and I discovered that, well, I knew it was coming, and I knew my daughter's birthday was on the 28th, and we were prepared. We had brought gifts. We were prepared. I made her something for her birthday. We were prepared for her birthday that we knew was coming. We were looking forward and planning and executing so that that might be a joyous occasion. I got there and I discovered something about my daughter, Carly. She has a meal planner where throughout the course of the days of the week, she has already planned the preparation for 7 meals so that we might enjoy those together. Visiting with my son-in-law, I discovered that in their garden plot that he had prepared the soil in a unique and special way to grow his garden. We were coming home, and it was the same thing. We left Friday at 3 in the afternoon to drive straight through to Sydney. We got home late Friday night. And the reason was because as your pastor, I need a day of preparation. The Bible tells us that the things that God has prepared for us, our minds cannot even conceive of them, what they are. Oh, he reveals things through his Spirit, and we know certain things, and he has awakened us spiritually to understand that there is a place that he is preparing for us, and it's heaven, and it's glorious. And he says here in John 14, he says, and I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there with me. That's really, honestly, all I need to know about heaven. And the other things that I know about heaven are somewhat of a mystery to me. Some things are clear and some things I absolutely don't know. I was listening to a radio program and the guy was going on and on and on about what heaven is going to be like exactly. And I thought, where are you finding all of that? It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. My mind cannot wrap around what heaven is fully going to be like. But Jesus knows. And I can't help but think that when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that he knows exactly what it's going to be. And he knows when I get there, I am going to be overwhelmed with things that my mind couldn't even comprehend. And I'm telling you today, and I hope this doesn't sound blasphemous, but I'm telling you today, I think when Jesus makes that proclamation in John 14, I think he's giddy about it. Hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'd love to tell you all about it, but you know what? We're going to wait until you get there, and you're going to be just kind of overwhelmed with it, what I have prepared for you. I was excited to get home. And one of the reasons I was excited to get home for was to see my garden that I'd planted and just begun to grow. And I was curious as to how much it was going to grow. And we got home. We talked about it coming home. It would be exciting to see what the garden has done and everything. And we got home. And my wife says to me, she says, now we're getting the backpacks in. And then we're just going to bed. And I didn't understand why she was saying that so much then. Nor did I understand why there was so much pressure to figure out what color we were going to paint my old studio building. And I didn't put all this stuff together until Saturday morning. I got up and I looked out the back window to look at the garden, and I discovered that my wife had been preparing a place for me. And she had planned. And my dear sister in Christ, Rhonda Whited, executed, and they had painted my old studio building. They had literally prepared a place for me. Now, it's in no way to be compared unto heaven, but the principal idea was there. They had thoughts towards me, and they knew something that I would like and that I would appreciate, and they went to the effort to prepare and to take care of that, and I had no idea what was coming. How much greater will it be for me in heaven? To get there and to see the things that Christ has prepared for me? Oh, that will be joy for me. And it will be joy for you. But have you ever thought about the joy it's going to bring to Jesus? You know, Scripture tells us, and Jesus said it, didn't he? In John's gospel, he said, just as a father knows to give good gifts unto his kids, so much more your heavenly Father will give unto you. I knew that my granddaughter would like a toy lawnmower because she would watch people mowing the lawns and say, "Yanmore, yanmore, yanmore." She'd say it over and over again. So I found great joy in going to the store and buying her a toy lawnmower. I found joy in that. Because just as fathers and grandfathers enjoy doing nice things for their kids, so your heavenly Father enjoys doing nice things for you. You see, Scripture says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he finds the death of his saints to be a beautiful thing. Why? Because after long anticipation, Jesus is looking forward to you coming to heaven. And for you to see and to realize all that he has prepared for you. It is far more blessed to give than it is to receive, said Jesus. And he is blessed when we get to heaven and we discover all he has done for us. Aren't you excited? This world, not my home. But I am so thankful for a God who teaches me that he is a God who prepares. Therefore, I need to be a person who prepares for the day that I'll enter into heaven. And until that day, prepare to give an answer of the hope that lies within you and share that which brings joy unto the Lord. How many in heaven? Countless numbers, but there is always room for one more. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of preparation. That throughout Scripture we find that, and then, Lord, because you are a God who prepares and has prepared all things, that you call us to be a people of preparation. I find, Lord, in my own life that if I will prepare and not fly, as they say, by the seat of your pants, things typically go better. Oh, I know that there are many things that I cannot predict, many things that will spring up. But, Lord, there are also many things that I can be proactive about. Certainly, good works is one of them. Certainly, shod feet in the preparation of the gospel, being prepared to share the gospel is one of them. For Lord, when we do those things, as Jesus said, or believe me for my very work's sake, there are people on this earth that will see Christ in the very things that we do, that they will hear Christ in the very words that we speak. And Lord, we need to be prepared to do that so that we don't miss those opportunities. For when one is saved, all of heaven rejoices, and Christ is with anticipation and excitement awaiting their homecoming, where he might show them all that he has prepared for them. May our lives, Lord, bring joy to you. May our lives be a blessing unto you. And may you use us. May you use us, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.